Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I will never forget the look on his face. My son was about 1 year old, and the only liquid that had ever entered his mouth was water and milk. But he was thirsty, and there was apple juice. So we thought, well, I guess he could try some apple juice. And so I told him, hey, instead of water, we're going to put apple juice in your cup. And he looked suspicious. We put the apple juice in his sippy cup, and we gave it to him. And he kind of looked at it, and he drank a little. And his face was priceless. He kind of went... It was like, what is this? And then he gave me a look that was kind of like, I think it was like, you've been holding out on me. Just this kind of angry look. He looked like, you've been giving me water, but apple juice is better. It's better. And better is a good thing, right? Better is better. It's better. How many of you would say you want a better life? You really don't need to raise your hand because it's all of us, right? We all want a better life, right? We all do. Here's the problem, I think, is we settle for good. Now, good is good, right? Good is a good thing. We want that. We want the good life. We want to live in a nice house with nice things in it. We want to drive nice cars, have a nice family, and go on a nice vacation. And that's good. Maybe that is the good life. But I am convinced that God has something so much better. And so many of us settle for the good life while God has something better. Today, we're continuing our new series called Better. And I want to share with you an idea that would have made no sense to me years ago. But today helps me to define what a better life looks like. The idea we're going to talk about is found in the Bible in a book called Psalms, and in chapter 84. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, no problem at all. We'll put the Bible verses on the screen for you. And we actually give Bibles away for free at the Velcro Bar or Connecting Place. So Psalm 84 starts out like this. It says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. So this guy says, I long to be in the courts of the Lord. What does that mean? What are the courts of the Lord? What he's talking about is being close to God. Back then, it was believed that God's presence lived in the temple, and if you wanted to get close to God, you would go to the courts of the temple. And so he's saying, man, I want so bad to be in God's presence. And then look what he writes in verse 10. He says, a single day in your courts is better, there's that word, better, than a thousand anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. So he says, a single day in your courts, in other words, a single day close to you, God, a single day in your presence is, he says, better. Better, right? There's that word. That's what we're looking for together, is better. He says, a single day in your presence is better than a thousand anywhere else, a thousand elsewhere. My family has a friend who owns a timeshare company. Not a timeshare, she owns the whole company. She like owns hotels, and she gave to our family a free week to stay in a timeshare in Maui. And so last week we were in Maui. We actually had three free plane tickets, so we were able to go on a Hawaii vacation for about $500, which is awesome because we could never afford to go to Maui. And maybe you can't afford to go to Maui. I wish I could tell you, it's overrated, but I can't. It's actually pretty awesome. Like look at this. This is Maui. That is pretty awesome. I would love to spend 1,000 days in Maui. But what this guy is saying is he's saying, listen, a day, just one day in God's presence is better than 1,000 in Maui. And now that I've been there, I would say, yeah, I agree. It is. It's better. And he goes even further. He says, I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God. The gatekeeper was considered the lowest position. It was like the person who was changing out the garbage cans kind of thing, emptying the garbage. He says, I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life. So he's saying, I would rather be poor and have the worst job, but have that job bring me closer to God than to live in a mansion in Hawaii. Now, obviously, most people do not believe this. They don't agree with this. They don't believe it. And I get that. But before I was a Christian, I would have not believed this. I had no interest in God. I thought Christians, honestly, we're stupid. It's like, why do they get up early to go to church? And why do they want to follow all those rules and act all judgmental? And they miss out on all the good stuff. They miss out on the fun stuff of life. Like I was committed to living the good life, to having fun. In fact, I chose my career. I went to law school so that I could have a job that would fund the good life, that would fund the fun life. And I did not think that a day with God was better than anything. And maybe you feel like that today. Maybe you're like, exactly. I am hoping that when you leave today, you might actually leave thinking that God is better, that living in the presence of God is better. Maybe you're like, all right, then convince me. Like, why is it better? What's better about it? Okay, here are some of the reasons. The Bible says that God's love is better than life, and it is. That's what we're really looking for, being loved by God, being loved with a perfect love, an unconditional love, knowing that you are loved the most by the one who matters most. Whew, that is better. A day with God is better because you've been forgiven. Like all the sins of your past, all the sins of your presence, all the things that you felt so guilty about and so much shame for, because of Jesus, because you put your faith in Jesus, you know that God has forgiven all of my sins. That is freedom, and that is better. A day with God is better because you have joy. Like, without God, your happiness is based on what happens, right? It kind of goes in and out. But with God, you can have a joy that does not come and go. It is better. A day with God is better because you have peace. Like, no matter what happens, no matter how weird things get, how bad things get, you can have peace because you know that God's in charge. And so, like, you can be okay even when things aren't okay. A day with God is better because you have purpose. Instead of just trying to make it from day to day, just kind of stringing days along, living out this routine, trying to manufacture some, you know, something to get excited about. No, your life is infused with eternal purpose, and you know that your life really matters. A day with God is better because you have power. It's not like it used to be when you just tried the best you can. No, it's like now you have God's power available to you, so you can do what you can't do. Listen, a day with God is infinitely, indescribably better. It's better. Now check me. I'm not saying it's perfect. Okay, don't hear that because it's not perfect. I'm not saying that you won't have problems or that you get to escape the hard times, because you will have problems. Like, you still are living a life in this world. You don't get to escape the crap of life, but it's different. It's different because you're living your life, you're in this world, but with God. And that's better. I would rather have a crappy life with God than a perfect life without Him. Have you ever noticed, it fascinates me, because it happens all the time, that people who have perfect lives without God are so unhappy. And to my surprise, they admit it. You watch interviews like Tom Brady, Brad Pitt, they admit, I am so unhappy despite everything I have. We see like successful business, multimillionaires, and famous celebrity singers committing suicide. We opened up with a song by One Republic. It's one of my favorite bands. I love them. And I don't know if you saw, but about a month ago, the singer put this blog post out for the world, and he said, "Our band has had unbelievable success the last years, and I have had unbelievable depression. He says, I can't stand anymore. I'm making these changes in my life. I can't live this way anymore." The guy who wrote, "This could be the good life." And it turns out that the good life without God isn't that good. It's not. A day with God is better. And I think that leads to a question, like, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to have a day with God? If a day with God is better, what exactly does it mean to have a day with God? Some of you might think, well, I'm a Christian, and so all of my days are with God. Yeah. And no, both at the same time. It's true. Like for instance, I have spent days with my wife where it totally mattered that I was with my wife, and I have spent days with my wife where it did not matter at all that I was with my wife. Right? Like, I've been with people sometimes for an hour or hours or a day and barely noticed I was with them. And I've been with people and really connected with them. And it's the same with God. You can be with God and not really be with God. Or you can be with God and really be with God. So how do you spend a day with God? What does it mean? Years ago, I might have said, well, what you do is you get up and you start your day by reading the Bible and praying. You listen to God through the Bible and you talk to God through praying. And I'd still say that is the best way to start your day if you want to spend your day with God. Because however you start your day, you are setting the tone for your entire day. So if you want to spend your day with God, you start your day with God. And I think reading the Bible and praying is the best way. We try to make that really easy for you here at Verve. We give away free Bibles at the Velcro Bar. We have a Bible reading plan in it that we give away for free. We have a Verve Catalyst site that you can go to, which has that reading plan. It gives you one chapter a day to read, which isn't very much. It provides study notes and application questions. If you subscribe on that website, it gets emailed to you every single day. If you want to live a day with God, start your day with God. If not, you are setting the tone for some other kind of day, not for a day with God. But that's just the start. I think years ago I might have said, you want to live a day with God? Start your day by reading the Bible and praying and then go live your day. No, because it's like, okay, so that Bible and prayer time is the spiritual part of the day, and then I go live the normal part of my day. That's wrong, because that's like, that's compartmentalizing God, and God is way bigger than any compartment. That's kind of like thinking like there's a spiritual part of my day and there's the normal part, but the truth is everything is spiritual. In fact, did you know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, which is most of the Bible, there is no word spiritual. Like, there's no word to describe that. There's just no concept of that in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's like God is spirit. God created everything, and everything is spiritual. Everything was made for God. Everything is spiritual. Like, if you had a chance to talk to Jesus, like back when he was living on earth, and you said to Jesus, like Christians sometimes say to each other today, "Hey, how's your spiritual life, Jesus?" I think Jesus would have went, "Huh? No, man, you don't get it. Everything is spiritual life. No, this is my Father's world. I am doing my Father's business. It's all spiritual." Think of it this way. So in the Old Testament, it was believed that God lived in the temple, so people wanted to go to the temple courts. You had to go somewhere to be with God. But after Jesus comes, the Bible says that God now lives in us. If we invite him in, he lives in us. We have become God's temple. So you don't have to go somewhere to be with God. God has come to be with you. What that means is if you've invited him, God is always with you. You always live every moment in God's presence. And so really the goal becomes to live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. Can you imagine you have a friend, your friend lives far away in a different state, you invite your friend to come to Las Vegas, spend some time with you, spend a few days with you, your friend does it, your friend comes, and you ignore them the whole time they're here. No, right? You wouldn't do that. Like, why would you invite somebody to come be with you and then ignore them? Except that I think way too often that's exactly what we do with God. Like, we invite him into our lives, and it's so easy to just ignore him. And so what we need to do is do our day, have a day with God, and then string together the rest of the days, right? We need to live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. Because God is always with us, and everything is spiritual. The Bible talks about this a lot, over and over. I'll show you a couple examples where it says this. So, for instance, in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatever you do, okay, not like those certain things you do, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do. So your job, your chores, everything, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's all with God. It's all for God. Everything is spiritual. You can live your life with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence. You can literally do your life with God. And if you do, what you'll discover is a day with God is better. It's better. I think all of that leads to the question, well, okay, but how do you do your day with God? How do you do that? Because I know for me, I have like this ADD issue. If you know me, you're like, yes, you do. If you've just been listening to me for a while, you're like, I suspected. But I have some ADD issues. And so it's very easy for me to have good intentions. Like, I'm going to spend my whole day with God. And then like an hour later, whoops, I forgot about God again. How did that happen? And so, like, how do we live with an ongoing, unending awareness of God's presence? I want to give you three habits that you can build into your life that have helped me a lot. I struggle with this. This has helped me move further along, and I think they can help you to live a day with God. Three habits. The first is to develop the habit of constant communication with God. Constant communication with God. Look what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. It says, rejoice always, pray continually. In other words, pray at all times. Like, pray all the time. This is a challenge for me because, again, I've got ADD issues. And so, like I will sit down in the morning to pray. I will start praying, like, God, I love you. God, I need you. God, I forgot to check my email. Where's my phone? And all of a sudden, I'm on my phone. And it's like, wait a minute. A minute ago, I was sat down to pray, and I've already like kind of gotten pulled away from it. I have trouble praying for 5 minutes in a row. So how in the world can I pray continually? Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like this is impossible. But we can do this, and there's a secret. And I want to teach you the secret. Actually, I want to show you the secret. It's right here. It's right here. How many of you carry one of these just about everywhere you go? How many of you carry these about everywhere? Okay, confession time is a safe place. We can be honest. How many of you carry one of these into the bathroom? Be honest. Y'all need counseling. And I do too because I take mine in the bathroom. I'll be completely honest with you. If I go into the bathroom and realize I don't have my phone, I will leave the bathroom. I'll be like, I'll be right back, bathroom. And I will go get my phone and bring it back to the bathroom. Because what else are you going to do in the bathroom, right? You have to have your phone in the bathroom. There are some not good things about our phones, but the thing that I love about this is that it keeps me connected to the people I love, right? Throughout the day, I can communicate with people in just short bursts of communication. Well, like, if you follow me on Twitter in 140 characters or less, I can tell you what I'm doing and what I'm thinking. If you like my Facebook page, that would be a miracle because I don't do Facebook, but if I did have a Facebook page, we could communicate that way, right? And all day long, I text. I text with my friends. I text with the guys in my Verve group. I text with our staff. I text with my family. The weird thing to me is that I text with my kids while they're in school. Like, all day long in school, they're texting me. Like, when I was in school, we couldn't pass a note without getting in trouble. But somehow my kids are texting me all day. Hey, did you see what happened? I'm like, how is this possible? I don't get this. But all day long, I communicate with this with just repeated short bursts of communication. And I want to encourage you, when you hear this idea of praying continually, I want you to think of it that way. It's just repeated short bursts of communication with God. Maybe you can't keep your focus on God all day long. I can't. But you can just keep going back with repeated short bursts of communication. So prayer doesn't have to just be like sometime in the morning or like before I eat, God bless this food, or before I go to bed, thanks for this day. All that's good, but we should pray like that and between that and after that and before that all the time. And it can just be quick, like 140 character or less, short, repeated bursts of communication. So you just start training yourself to do it. You're driving to work, and like just like the other day, it's like there's this beautiful sunrise. Instead of just going, wow, now you start going, God, what a sunrise. You are incredible. Look what you've done. You're at work, and you just think, God, thanks for giving me a job. I need one. Thanks for this job you provided for me. Your boss is being a real annoying boss. and you say, help me, Jesus, right? You're dealing with someone, and you don't know what to say, and you're just like, God, give me wisdom right now. Give me wisdom. You realize that somebody is hurting, and you're like, God, I don't really care. Give me compassion. Give me compassion. You pray, God, help my son who's taking an exam today. God, help me to represent you well in this lunch meeting. God, would you give me more desire for you? I need it. God, what am I supposed to think about that? I don't know what to think. God, right now I just need your strength. God, give me some strength right now. When you realize you've sinned, maybe you have this thought that you know you shouldn't have. God, I'm so sorry. Help me not to have that thought again. When you look at the news and you see the hatred and the evil that's going on in Charlottesville this weekend, instead of just shaking your head, it's like, God, change people's hearts, God. God, heal our nation. Just repeated short bursts of communication. You just develop this kind of reflex prayer habit that's how you respond to things. And what you'll find is, oh, I did my day with God. Like I spent my day with God. I didn't compartmentalize God into a few special spiritual times with God. I did my whole day with God. And you start stringing those together and you realize I'm doing life with God. And then you realize it's better. It's better. Three habits. First, constant communication with God. Second, instant obedience to God. Constant communication with God, instant obedience to God. So here's the deal. If you start living your life in communication with God, so you start your day by talking to God through prayer, listening to God through reading the Bible, you stay in contact by God through just praying throughout the day, what will happen is God will speak to you. He will. I'm not saying like, ah, and the clouds open up and there's this big booming voice. You're like, whoa. No, I'm just saying like you'll be reading your Bible and something like a verse will just pop out and you'll be like, oh, that's for me. I needed that. Or you'll be living your day and all of a sudden a Bible verse will pop into your head and you'll be like, huh, that is exactly what I should do right now. Weird. That verse just... Or he'll just prompt you to do something. And when he does, do it. Don't wait, don't delay, don't make instant obedience. We did a series last month on God's Holy Spirit, which is God's presence with us and within us if we've invited him into our life. And the Holy Spirit comes into our life partially to guide us into the life that God has for us. Look what the Bible says in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so it's saying walk with God, right? If he tells you to do something, do it. Keep in step with what he's telling you to do. And so it may be things that are in the Bible that he's told all of us to do. The Bible is filled with God's will for your life. God has told you to share your faith with people who don't believe in Jesus. God has told you to show hospitality to those in need, to be generous, to volunteer in your church, to show compassion to hurting people. So it may be that God communicates something that he's told all of us to do in the Bible. But God will also personalize things just for you. And so he may give you this sense that you should call a friend, or you'll be in the lobby and you'll think, I should invite them to be in my Verve group. Or you'll have this sense that you should give money to someone who's in need. And when you have those kind of promptings, it's so easy to think, it's probably not God. How do I know it's God? I don't need to do that. And so you don't, right? Listen, if it seems like the kind of thing that God might ask you to do, if it's consistent with who you think God is and the kind of things he says to do in the Bible, do it. Just do it. Do what he says. Instant obedience. If you do, what's happening is you're living your day with God. It's like God stops being just someone you believe in who's up there, and it starts being like, I'm living my life in a friendship with God. I'm living my life in a partnership with God. It's like God and I are doing this day together. God and I are doing his thing together. If you don't obey God, what you'll find is you are not doing your day with God. You might believe in God, but you are not doing your day with God. Now, I just showed you that verse that said, keep in step with the Spirit. If God says it, if God shows you it, if God has something for you to do it, check out this verse in the Bible. It says, Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. It's like when we don't obey, we are not living in a partnership with God, and it makes God sad. It grieves him. Not only does it make him sad, it hurts us. It impacts us because we are missing out on what's better. Whatever it is that God had for us to do, that's better, and we've missed out on what is better. Because, man, better is one day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere. 3 habits, constant communication with God, instant obedience to God, and 3rd, a daily desperation for God. Daily desperation for God. Remember, we read this verse earlier, Psalm 84, verse 2. It says, I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. He's like, I long to be close to God. If you're a Christian, when's the last time you thought something like that? If you're a Christian, when's the last time you said something like that? Maybe you think, oh, never. That's kind of weird. You know, I don't know. It just seems, why would I think that? Why would I do that? If that's your thought, I would say, not in a judgmental way at all, but I would say, you probably have never experienced a day with God. You probably haven't, because you develop an appetite for what you eat. That's just the way we are, right? Like, after my son had apple juice for the first time, he wanted apple juice every time. Like, when we gave him water in his sippy cup, he was like, water? Who cares about water? I want apple juice. Apple juice! Like, he was like crazy about apple juice. And listen, when we experience God, when we really experience him, we become desperate for more of him. Not when we believe in God, not when we go to church. When we experience God, we just want more. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you experience life with God, you realize it's better. It's better. There's a guy in the Bible named David who experienced life with God. And look what he writes in Psalm 63. He says, oh God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. And because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And when you're in constant communication with God, when you instantly obey him, when you start to desire him, you start realizing that he is better. And when you've experienced better, you just can't settle for good anymore. You can't. You won't settle for the good life because you want what's better. You want his presence. You want his grace. You want his forgiveness, his peace, his power, his mercy, his joy. You want it so bad, you just become desperate for more of better because you realize that one day with God is better than 1,000 in Maui. One just last helpful hint for you, because maybe you're like me and you're like, that sounds good. I want that. I'm not there yet. Just honestly, I'm not there. Maybe you're like, I'm so new to all this. Like, I am not even close to like living every moment of my day with God. I'm not even close. I'm gonna need help. Here's my hint. Get in a Verve group. Get in a Verve group. Verve groups are 6 to 16 people who meet once a week. Some meet in Starbucks, some meet here at Verve in the building, some meet in homes, and this group of people get together and they laugh together and they support each other and they grow in their friendships with each other and they pursue God together and they grow closer to God together. We have a new semester. All of our groups are starting brand new in September and signups are today. We have women's groups, men's groups, mixed groups. Why should you get in one? Because then you'll have some friends who are helping you with this. Like instead of going, all right, I'm going to try. See y'all next Sunday. I'm going to try this. No, it's like you've got people who are cheering you on and encouraging you, and you need that. I need that. I'll tell you a little secret. I'm in two groups because I need this twice as much as you do, I guess. I'm in two groups. You need to be in a group. We all need this. Sign up today. It will make your life better. Better. We're going to give you just a little bit of time to think about everything that you just heard and how are you going to apply it to your life? How are you going to apply this to your life to make your life better? During this time, the band's going to play one last song, and we will also offer to you, if you'd like it, communion. You know, we've been talking about being with God. The reason that we can be with God is because Jesus was willing to not be with God. Because Jesus left heaven, we can experience some of heaven now here on earth and all of heaven later. Because Jesus was separated from God when he took all of our sins on the cross, we can have our sins separated from us so that we can no longer have to be separated from God but can be with God. And so communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that you can find on the candlelit tables around the room. And it reminds us of Jesus' body and blood given for us on the cross. It's a way when we take it that we remember and we thank Jesus for what he's done for us. So the band's going to play a song. If you'd like to take communion, you can. I encourage you, think about how you're going to apply this message, okay? And so let me pray for you and then we'll give you that time. God, thank you that life with you is better. Thank you that you are more than a God to believe in or to go and sing songs to on a Sunday, but that you are a God who is inviting us into life with you. That you are a God who, if we invite you, comes to be with us forever. And so, God, would you help us to live our lives with a constant communication, this ongoing awareness that you are with us and we want to communicate with you. God, would you help us to live with instant obedience to you and a daily desperation for you. God, help us to find this life that is truly better. Thanks for Jesus who makes it possible. We pray all these things in his name. Amen.